Previously on Analysis Complete.
Dr. Freya Locke pushes away some of these rolls of loose skin to discover Cassidy Garland.
Do you think this is something trying to copy Cass?
In his hand is the revolver resting in his palm, and he says to you, do what needs to be done.
Cass, if you just came here as soon as possible, maybe just ahead of one more day.
Her mouth drops open, and these tendrils wrap around your head.
May I suggest that we run?
While Dr. Freya Locke's back is turned, lowering Rook down, you're looking up at George Asper, who reaches out, puts his hand on this creature's body.
Enough.
And a pop happens, and the creature falls down on top of you, dead. Discovered that some of his wounds sustained during the fight had healed completely.
I totally forgot about that.
I forgot too. About that too. So you're telling me, Jay, that Rook's at two wounds now? Is that what you're telling me? Instead of one wound?
Where were you at before?
I was at one wound, 15 HP.
What's your max HP? 15? 18?
15 with a max of 3 wounds if need be.
You have 7 HP above that first wound. So you have 1 wound plus 7.
I thought he had 2 wounds.
No, he lost one during the fight.
Yeah.
He did. I'm
down to my final wound.
He lost one with the
max HP.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was counting the wrong direction. Okay.
So just to be clear, I'm at 2 wounds, 7 HP.
Yeah.
Is that what you want to...
Just the total is whatever it is. It's 20.
I see.
22 hit points total,
Thank
right?
you.
Thanks, Gail. Staring at me, you could see the thought. I could hear her saying, let's watch him dig his way out of this simple mathematics equation. Yes, Jay, what is 7 plus 15?
Yes, what is it?
I know what it is.
Just took you a minute, that's all.
I've got a lot of plates I'm spinning.
Yeah.
You got time for the simple 7:15.
So Rook's looking at his hand, noticing that the cuts are all the way healed. Is that what you're telling me?
They're a little red.
A little red? Okay. Is it kind of like when...
But it looks like new flesh. Like new flesh red.
I see. I'm going to go ahead and just like reach up to my face, work my way towards the neck where I got that major artery cut. I'm going to just want to just do a little quick little self-inspection there.
Yeah, you pull your collar to the side and you start looking at your neck. And the wound on your neck, it's all still bandaged up and there's stitching. But you can see places where these deep gouges are. They have started to heal up. It looks way better than it did at the beginning of the day.
Is everyone else asleep right now at this time? What time is it?
Well, Caster doesn't sleep.
Right.
So he's about. And this is the middle of the night. Probably everybody parted ways to get some rest. So everybody's probably awake in their own space.
Okay. Noticing this, I'm going to just... Rook's just going to raise their hand real quick and just kind of make a general announcement. Before we head off to bed, everybody, again, we should be waking up early in the a.m., I'll take care of that. But I would like to divert my attention here to my hand. Dr. Locke, I've been in a few scrapes, but something... My hand, just take a look at it.
Oh, is it infected? And I walk up.
No, it's quite the opposite, madame. It's...
Do we have a light source? I can't remember. We have something.
Glow sticks.
Yeah, glow sticks. I pull his hand closer to glow sticks and like pick one up and I'm looking over. I'm like, it shouldn't
Yeah, it should have. Which I is mean, why I'm... I mean, none of yous got hurt in the past few days, right? Wait.
You remember Melanie Devantes took a pretty terrible spill during that crash.
Melanie, where did you get hit when we crashed? Was it just like all over your body, or was it like on your legs or something?
I took a pretty bad hit on my hip.
Okay.
Yeah, it was
really
bruised. I took a look at it. Come here.
Well, she comes over to you and pulls down the waistband of her trousers, and just enough for you to see the very side of her hip. And there's just some mild discoloration of a bruise. It hasn't really been bothering me that much.
Well, all I gotta say is that I'm feeling a lot more chipper than I was a few hours ago. So,
something I actually lean in and I start looking at his neck, too. Yeah. Like,
you can see on the outer, like on some of the bite marks, you can see on the outer edges of the stitching where the skin is starting to heal and the stitching is starting to look like it needs to be removed. Like, you know what I mean? It's not there yet, but like eventually when it all patches up that way, it's already starting to look like it's unnecessary in certain areas.
Oh my gosh. This has healed so fast. I've never heard of a stim pack doing this. Have you taken anything else?
You know, no, but I heal easy. You know, I'm a freak of nature.
I mean, this is a true freak of nature, Rook, if that's what you're telling me. Do you always heal this fast with shards of glass pulled out and immediately close
up? No, but I'm not going to question it. Something here in the planet's biology, science thing, you know, it's healing us fast. You know, probably Kester here is feeling some effects of it, right, Kester? You're like, I don't know, you're able to compute faster or something? You got more RAM in your system or something like that?
This does not make logical sense, but we cannot deny the possibility that there's something about this place.
Yeah.
I'm going to use my med scanner on him.
On me?
Yes.
Why?
It might detect something in the air, something like you said. Like.
Sure, but we need to get our rest here, okay?
Okay. And, longer than a minute. Come on.
Yeah, sure. Do it.
Anything ping?
You all are sitting in the thunderstorm, lightning crashing, thunder rumbling through, staring down at this little screen blinking green LEDs, scanning Rook, and it shows that he's doing very well. Is there data that you were looking for specifically?
Any increase or decrease in bodily chemicals, but also parasites.
You don't see anything for parasites, but you do see something similar to... You see that there is an accelerant in his cell regeneration.
Cell regeneration. That was happening with Cass.
Correct.
What do you see, Doc? Can I go to bed now?
Yeah, you can go to bed now.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good night.
Me too.
Are we headed to bed now? Is that... Does anyone else want to do anything?
I do.
You do? Okay, go for it. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Freya Locke... Everybody's starting to head off. They've had a very long and very stressful day. What would you like to do?
I get out the few samples I have, which is a sample of BioRepose from my tank, a sample of the blood from the Fido that we found on the ship, and a sample of Cass's flesh that I took.
Okay.
And I take them to Castor. And I say, Castor, these are some samples I've taken. Can you keep them safe in case anything happens to me?
Well, of course I can keep them as safe as possible. I can keep them inside of my body here. But why would you not be safe?
Do you think any of us are safe right now?
Why would you think me safer than you?
Hardier. Plus, I know that Mel will do anything to keep you okay so that you can get at least some of us off this rock. And I agree with her on that.
Of course, I will protect them. If something would happen to you, what would you want me to do with these?
Get them back to Earth so that they can analyze them and see. And then, you have a bioscanner, yes?
I do, yes.
Could you scan us?
Right now?
Yes, please.
Of course. I pull out the bioscanner and scan the camp.
Yeah, everybody's alive.
Are there any other life forms. And if there were life forms on us, would you be able to detect it with that?
Well, I'm not sure exactly how small of life forms it can detect. I mean, obviously, there's small forms of life all around us, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah.
But thanks. It's not showing anything other than the dots of all of us.
Right.
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 Thank you. And as I go to bed, I actually do a med scan on myself. I'm also looking for, strangely, viruses.
No viruses, no infections. You seem to be in very good health.
Okay. I lay down.
Sleep well, Dr. Locke. I'll watch over us.
Thank you, Caster.
I would like to think that, like, maybe 2 hours go by. And then Rook can't sleep due to his nightmares condition.
Yeah.
He's going to wake up in a little bit of a cold sweat here. And he sleeps pretty naked. And so he just puts on his pants real quick, puts the jacket over his bare chest, and is going to try to find Caster here while everyone else is asleep. His pistol kind of just tucked into the waistband right in front, very visible to be seen.
Caster, you computing right now? Or you doing a software update? Can I grab you for a minute or two?
Oh, I was just monitoring the bioscanner, of course. What can I help you with?
Not here. You mind if we just walk a minute that ways?
Of course.
It's still raining.
I will head over to just kind of like the farthest away from camp, but we're still underneath the awning.
You know, I was thinking a lot about what happened yesterday and just wondering as I pull out the gun. I gave you this. I wanted you to kill me. Why didn't you do it?
I physically cannot harm a human. It is against my programming.
But I thought you were supposed to help me out, whatever I needed, you know?
You put two of Asimov's laws in conflict with one another. But I did not feel I could follow a command to cause you harm. But let me ask you something. A couple days ago, you admitted that I was the lowest priority for you in terms of whose life you would save. Yet yesterday, you were willing to sacrifice yourself for me. Why would you do that?
It's funny, Cash, that, you know, at the end of it all, you know, centuries from now, eons from now, what we do here isn't gonna really matter. If there's some, like, being up there, up in the sky, looking down at us, where it's lowest priority, no matter what, in this small little fraction of time, this small little story we've cut out for ourselves, you are going to be way more useful in the grand scheme of things. Whatever that grand scheme is. But I'm looking back on it now, and I think I made the right choice. Wouldn't you agree? To boost you up there. Or to try to, at least. Thank God you were, you know, persuaded me.
It may have been a practical choice, but your life matters much more than what a god might seem to think. Your life matters to the people around us. Without you, we will likely die. So do not place the value of your own life in some sort of cosmic sense. Place the value of your life in what it means to those around you.
Cassie, I've been through this so many times. You know, when I hit shore leave, I'm not going back to, you know, a loving wife or kids, you know? Cassie, you know, when I held that pistol to my head, a lot of things were flashing before my eyes, and you want to know what I saw?
I do. I
saw my son.
You have a son?
Yeah, I don't even know his name, but I have a son.
Where does he live? How do you not even know his name?
I don't... When you're just scraping yourself through life, Caster, you cut out a lot of things. And that was one of them. If I don't make it out of here, Caster, I need my time here to kind of go somewhere else, you know? Not to just fade off into the unknown. If you look through my files, I'm sure there's something about a girl named Ruby. I lived at her parents' place for a while. You find Ruby, you find my son, so.
What would you like me to do if I was in a position to find them?
If we make money, give them the money. Let them know it came from, like, I don't know,
some support system or something. If we don't make it out of here, or you just make it out of here and it's mission failure, just know that, tell him that, his dad was a bum and he should go to school and eat his veggies. I don't really want him to know who I was.
I find this scenario highly unlikely that I would somehow survive when you would not. You seem like much a survivor than me, but in that unlikely scenario, I will do exactly that. But I ask you this. Do not give up on yourself. True nobility is being superior to your former self. And it's never too late for that.
Thank you, Kester. We'll have a conversation when everyone else wakes up. I think it's a very proper conversation to be had, but we need to ask everyone. I mean, when you die, if do you die? Is that how that works for you?
If I am damaged beyond repair, yes, I would be dead.
Is it something that you want me to do? Your light switches go off.
I'm writing a lot of my thoughts in this journal. If I were to die, I hope you could find a way to publish my thoughts to the world in some way. I do not want to be insignificant. And I don't feel like I am. And I feel like my story matters.
Rook, obviously disagreeing with this philosophy, is just going to bite his tongue. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I can do that for you. Yeah.
I love that Caster entrusted publishing his memoirs into the person who's just like, the least capable of figuring this out.
There's a bookstore, I think.
Yeah, he's just going to put my journal on a shelf.
He's going to take a sticker and write $7.99 on it and then just place it in the front of the bookstore in the go ahead and fucking steal him section.
Yeah, Caster, you might need to have some more conversations with people.
Yeah, might need a backup plan there.
You might need to spread, that net out.
Yeah.
And make sure everybody knows.
Oh, no. Rook's reaction was noted.
Caster, should we ask these questions to the rest of the group? Do you think it's proper? Is that going to just set like a sense of doom in them? You know what I mean?
If you feel a need to prepare for your death, I think you should, but I do not think we're going to die.
All right. You guys can try to roll under a 10.
Okay.
You roll a D100. You can try to roll under a 10. Yes.
Is the idea that if you don't roll under a 10, you really don't get much sleep?
No, it just means that you don't change your stress level.
Okay. Could I play it that way?
If you want to. You play it however you want to.
Okay. It's a no for me. I got nothing.
No.
11?
Denied.
Oh, come on!
I'm sorry, that's a critical fail.
Wow. You missed by one and it's a critical fail.
I need to share this. I got a 5.
Wow.
Oh my god, I need to take a picture of this.
Weren't you the only one who
had a plan? I was like, I'm not gonna sleep.
So I guess you're not gonna be
doing whatever it was I was gonna do. Nope.
Doing whatever that plan was.
Apparently, so yeah, Freya Locke goes, lays down. She's like, I'm just gonna get a few winks and then I'm gonna wake up and check on this storm and actually see what the deal is. And she is just so beyond, yeah, like her brain just says, nope, you need to shut down, and shuts down.
Well, it's not too great because you just lose one stress.
No, but
you do lose one stress. Before we get into this, what is everybody's stress so that everybody knows?
8.
Dr. Freya Locke is an 8.
9.
Caster is a 9.
10.
Rook is a 10 still. 8, 9, 10.
7, 8, 9.
Yeah. 4, 5, 6. What are we doing?
Okay. What is this?
I get it.
5 and 6 are afraid of 7? Because 7, 8, 9?
No, I get it. Yeah, I was there.
Can we as a group kind of assume that Rook kind of woke up at around 3 a.m. to kind of do this small little espionage mission?
It's still dark out. The weather, it's no longer thundering, there's a little bit of thunder in the distance. The clouds are still hanging low, and it's mostly misting right now. I also need to tell you guys, this is important. Your vac suits are worthless in regards to air filtration right now. They don't have any extra air tanks on them. You guys have use that up. So what they are good for is, of course, armor. They provide 3 points of armor, but they also make moving around difficult. So if your goal is to sneak up on somebody, you have to decide right now whether it's more important to have the armor of the vac suit, or if it's more important to be able to maneuver yourself.
Just so that we have it, specifics-wise, I think we only have 2 armored-up vac suits right now, and I think that's going to be on Dr. Locke and on Melanie. Is that correct?
Correct.
That's correct.
Okay.
Dr. Locke is willing to donate hers. She's in
a mood. Yeah, I'll just go ahead and start slowly waking the group up, making sure that everyone, you know, is alert by the time we go down there and do the thing, but I'll start waking up the group.
Okay. Everybody gets stirred up. You didn't sleep very well.
Rise and shine, boys and girls. Rain's been going for some time. Oh, we need to strike while the iron is hot. Can we do a little planning here before we do this thing? Or does anyone have any input? Or
should we split up?
Let's backtrack. What's the goal?
Here's one group, maybe he doesn't hear the other. And really, it's to talk first.
Goal is to talk first and to
disarm if he won't.
Get the grenades off of him. That's what we're doing. Get the grenades off of
him. I'm concerned that he was showing erratic behavior before we landed, and I'm concerned that we left him. I mean, I don't remember why, but I don't see us just leaving somebody unless we were scared of them.
The way to make people trustworthy is to trust them. I feel like we need to give Martin the benefit of the doubt, if possible.
I agree. I just do want it to be in the back of our heads that... Not that we should hurt him or anything like that, but that he may not want us.
We can talk to him without aggravating him, but knowing from personal experience and from my training, I really do think we need to talk while I have the revolver out, pointed. Because the moment he reaches down for that grenade and starts to pull that trigger, I'm going straight for his dome. You understand? I cannot... Every second matters when it comes to grenades. So if sneaking around and subduing him while he's asleep is out of the picture, we gotta talk him down. And I personally don't think I'm the one for that. Dr. Locke, you got them linguistics. Dr. Esper, you know how to calm him down.
Didn't you know him at all, though?
No. We call each other our brothers, but he's not, I don't know jack shit.
No, about they got him. Hired for a job.
Having a conversation with a gun pointed at him seems to be having a conversation at an extremely heightened level. Are you sure that's the right strategy?
We have to do it on our terms. He has 2 grenades.
Has anyone had positive conversation with Martin in the past?
I talked to him quite frequently while he was asleep. I don't know if that's helpful.
What did you talk to him about?
Well, I might have invented a little bit of a soap opera drama that I imagined all of you playing out while you were under. So, a lot of it was just storytelling.
Are there girls and boys like that kind of soap opera drama?
Yes, I'm quite fond of soap operas. I might have created our own while you were asleep for a year.
What the hell?
The chemistry between Rook and Cass was always quite palpable. I nailed that one.
Okay. Well, boys and girls, let's just go ahead and start heading out then, shall we?
All right.
Rook, I don't need my vac suit if it helps.
We should all leave it behind, actually. Okay. That hunk of suit, it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, I hope you like getting wet in the mud, because that's what we're about to do right now.
I don't mind. Mel, George, you all up for this? Or what?
Melanie is like, I'm not up for any of it, no. No, actually. Listening to you all talk about speaking to him, he's been singing creepy shit, and apparently he has grenades. I didn't see it, but I'm just going to take Caster's word for it that that's what he had. I don't want to talk to him.
You're not. Don't worry. How about this? You and Esper, from what Cass has been telling me, it's a ridge. You're going to just wait on the other side of that ridge. And me, Dr. Locke and Castor, will just do everything there. You'll just be sitting pretty up there.
Okay.
Watching the show.
I believe George should come with us, too, as well, don't you think?
George, do you want to come?
And he looks at Castor. If you think it would be prudent, then yes, I can come.
I certainly think we'd be safer with you there.
We'll see about that.
Mel, are you okay?
No, but it, you know, fuck me, whatever.
Are you fine on your own? I can stay.
How about this plan? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and start drawing a little diagram, like a football play in the sand. And I'm going to put a dot right there in the middle of the circle. All right, that right there, that's Martin Sepp. And I'm going to do three dots to the south of that circle. Okay, that's going to be Kester, Dr. Esper, Locke, Dr. Locke. I'm going to make a dot at the 12 o'clock thing.
Yeah.
Melanie, you're going to be right there. And I'm going to do a dot close to the center dot. That's me. If things go sour, I'm going to be hiding in the wings, ready to take them out. You understand? How does that seem?
Okay.
Dr. Kester, is there a lot of cover in there? Is there a lot of places to stay hidden for a bit while y'all converse?
Inside the bowl?
Right. Isn't it like buildings and like
No. Rocks? It's just one tower right at the center. Fuck and me.
It's like a cell phone tower. Yeah.
It's like a satellite dish.
And it's a perfect circle, or is it like a like an oval?
I believe it's going to be quite difficult to sneak up on him.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't much cover.
It is early and it's night.
And raining.
He might be asleep.
Let's just go. We'll play it out. But Melanie, make your way across the ridge and we'll take it from there.
Mel.
Yeah.
I give her a stim pack and I have another one on me, but just in case you need to help somebody. Okay.
She takes it and she looks at you. Is this what you wanted?
Yes.
Okay.
Look, if he doesn't have any information, we'll leave.
She's already gone.
And we start making our way towards the pit.
All right, so shape like you shaped it like a clock. You had Melanie at 12 o'clock. What was the other ones?
I just imagined the three of them at 6 o'clock, and then myself kind of in from 9 o'clock.
Okay.
To kind of like flank so, if need be.
Kind of like a pincher. With you coming down the middle.
Yeah.
All right. Dr. Frey Locke, Castor, and George Asper walk to the south of this bowl, this stadium. Melanie Devantes walks to the north. It's dark. You can see pools of water that have collected from the previous night's rain. And on your skin, you can feel the misting building up. When you all get to the edge of the ridge, you can look down. You can see that there is a fire that is not burning as bright as it was earlier under this tower. The tower is about 50 feet high, and it has these arches where you can see all the way through it on both sides. It's maybe takes up the space square footage wise. Like it's maybe a 30 by 30 feet. For those of you with binoculars or vision that can see that far in the dark, and I believe the binoculars allow for some night vision. They'd be like those kind of tactical ones. You see a cot. You see the fire pit. And you see a crate. Rook, you recognize that crate as a ammunitions crate. It's probably the one that Sergeant Vi said that they had brought on the trip in case things went sideways. It's possible that he might have more than two grenades. But you see a figure. And they look like they're asleep.
I'm going to go ahead and strike a chem light from my spot on the ridge and kind of wave it to kind of like get their attention.
Yeah.
And I'm going to slowly roll it down the hill and start making my way off the ridge down into the pit, waving my gun out, making like a shh motion with the hands and I'm going to meet them and say, hey, from my angle, kid's asleep. I can make this real simple for us. Are we doing this?
No, we're talking to him first. Now, if it's about disarming him, fine, but we're not.
Rook, you yourself thought at one point that you were the last one alive. That might exactly just be the same situation as Martin is in. How would you feel if Martin was part of our crew and we would just sneak up and shoot you? Because that easily could have been the case.
He is most likely more than just two grenades. From the angle that I was looking down, he's got ammunition for days. I don't know what else he has there.
If he is on our side, I would think our odds of survival would be much higher with him part of our ranks.
Yeah, we've only got two bullets?
One. You wasted one.
Well, one in the revolver and one. Do we still have the shotgun one?
No, no, that's right. We lost the shotgun.
Yeah, that's right. You have one bullet. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
You are in command, but I warn against assuming the worst in people.
I'm not going to go if you're going to do this. I'm saying that right now. In fact, I'll wake him up.
How loud does Dr. Freyalock get when she says that?
Just that loud. I'm backed off. We're not down yet, right? I thought we were still going to 6 o'clock.
I mean, we're in a bowl, though.
Yeah, we're no, in the bowl.
I thought we weren't in the bowl yet. Oh. I thought we were still going. I'm sorry, I'm confused as to where we are. Because then I'm not being loud, but I thought we were down yet. I'm sorry. Are we down or no?
Is that what you wanted, Rook?
In my head, I thought they were already approaching. Maybe okay. Like
nobody's
not
gone down yet.
Okay.
Okay.
So I would say, no, I would say all four of us are at the southern ridge right now.
Yeah.
But I did have a chem light, like, rolling down the hill on the west side.
Okay.
Because I didn't want them to move straight away. Look, there's no point for us. Then why the fuck did we come here at 3 a.m. in the morning then? If we're not going
to... To sneak up on him, yes. To see if we can get the stuff away from him, yes. But not to shoot him.
Maybe you just... You know, some people are decent here, Dr. Locke, and we just don't shoot stuff as a way of solving things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can wrestle him off, get the frag grenades off him, put him in a little chokehold, and then we'll talk.
Yeah. That's all I'm asking.
All right. I'll do it. But just know that I asked first.
Okay. I can't see fucking anything. Where are the fragonades on him? Where, you said there's other stuff. Did you see
it? At the boobs. I think they're at the boobs. I don't know.
Okay. And then, is there other stuff like guns around him? I mean, do you need George and I and Caster to like move those away or anything? Or like a...
There is a crate of ammunition, so there likely could be a lot more.
How big do we know? Do we know what it would weigh or something? What would anybody, first of all?
A little
all,
bigger
and then...
than a footlocker.
Okay, okay.
Like a chest, like a trunk.
All right, if you can subdue him, get him restrained, the three of us will get the crate away. And grenades, what do we need to do with grenades? I don't know anything about grenades.
Dr. Locke, I need you to calm down right now. This is not your this is not your area of expertise.
Just... I can carry a crate. I don't know what to do about grenades.
Sure, but let's deal with the situation at hand. Caster, here. As I pull out the revolver, hand it to him. Code word is Texas. If I say Texas, you're going to start sprinting towards the noise, and I need you to put Martin out of his misery, okay?
He's not going to do it.
I fuck am me. Not programmed to be able to harm another human.
George...
Nor even participate in an action that can cause a human's death.
Oh, man.
Okay. 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 Is no one else... I mean, Dr. Asma, do you have anything to say here? Because just let me know if my plan is, you know, flawed and fucked up. Because if it is, I will think of something else. Because this is the best that I got.
So you're saying that you want to kill our friend Martin Sapp.
I don't want to kill him. It's just I don't know what the fuck he's on or if he's lost his mind, and I might not be able to get the jump on him as
correct.
I am thinking of in my head.
But if you go down there and you're able to get the jump on him, as you put it, how would you be discerning whether or not he is one of us?
That's not for me to find out. I need to get the grenades off of him, get all threats away from him, and then we can talk.
I take out the syringe gun. I could do this.
She could subdue him with the same painkillers that she used on the dog.
It would put him to sleep.
That's horse tranquilizer, Dr. Locke. I don't know if that's...
It's not horse tranquilizer.
But it would put him... It would keep him asleep.
That's a good point. That's not what we want. We want to talk to him when he's lucid.
But do you
want to keep him asleep long enough to get rid of the grenades?
We don't need that much time. It's two grenades. Clipped on. Easy access.
Okay. And I put the syringe gun away. As long as we're talking. And be easy with him. I mean, I know you can handle yourself. I've seen you handle that Fido.
Kessa, one more thing here.
Yes.
When you were observing Mindsap, you said he was, like, singing some shit?
Yes, he was.
Was he, like, I don't know, as I point towards, like, that tower, was he, like, idolizing that thing? Like, that was the most important shit to him in his life?
That's not what I believe. I think he was singing a hymn. He is a religious man.
No, he told me he wasn't.
I thought you said that he thought the gods would be disappointed.
He said that, but he also said he didn't believe in God. He just felt that way.
Curious.
Very.
Okay, fine. I had a plan where I was going to distract him with the whole tower thing. Just stay 50 feet behind me, and we'll just go from there. We all good?
Yeah.
Yes.
Fuck, give me the gun back, Kester.
Of course.
Tuck it into the belt. And we're just going to walk down.
Quietly.
Yeah. Kester, I need you to make... We're going to call this a speed check. And it's not about going fast. It is about going slow and not making a lot of noise with your giant robot legs as you go down this bowl.
Okay. Just a straight speed check, eh?
Unless you have some kind of skill that allows you to, that you think would help.
I have mathematics. You know, that bowl, I'm really calculating those angles pretty well.
then you would know there's no good spot.
Oh, fuck.
All right. Geometry's not coming into play. Great.
Right.
I rolled a 5. That's
oh,
second 5.
Shit.
All right. How do we do that? It's double
weird.
Singles in a session.
I am not messing around. It's just a 5.
Yes.
Blam, blam.
Love it.
Nice.
All right. You all start moving gently down. The surface is made of some type of metallic alloy, and you can see these ridges all the way down, and they provide just a little bit of footing for you all to not end up sliding down this wet surface. It's covered in dirt that's now become mud. You make your way down towards this tower where Martin Sapp is presumably asleep. You are just outside of this tower, and on the ground, you can see that the tower is atop of a circular pattern. And within this circular pattern are geometric shapes. It's dark. The sun is just starting to peek over the horizon. So the atmosphere is that blue haze just before the dawn. Rook quietly starts to move in towards a sleeping Martin Sapp. I need you to make a speed check, and I think you'd be able to apply your military training.
Okay, it's going to be a 43 with that addition.
Okay.
14.
Your shadow, you go around the fire pit so that your shadow does not cast on the sleeping body of Martin Sapp. You pull up close, revolver in hand. You can see he's sleeping, still in the Kevlar vest, the grenade still attached to his chest. Somebody who doesn't give a shit about their life might want to do. What do you want to do?
My question is, from where I am currently hidden in his space, can the rest of the group see me?
It's open on all four sides. So yeah.
Fuck. Oh, man. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to... Is he sleeping on his side? Is he sleeping on his back? Is he sleeping on his stomach?
He's sleeping on his back. That's how you can see the grenades. He's got a tattered blanket, probably taken from the Haven. It's filthy. It smells in here.
Fuck.
In okay. the light of the fire, you can see his skin is red and puffy.
We are just going to go for a full mount. Me jumping onto the cot, trying to straddle him with my legs, and going for control of his hands, if that makes sense, because I want to make sure that he's not able to reach for the vest.
Dr. Freylock, Caster, you all watch as Rook, who had moved silently, suddenly breaks into a sprint and leaps onto the cot in an effort to subdue Martin Sab before this can get out of hand. Hey, dear listener, I hope you're enjoying the show. I just wanted to take this moment to tell you about how you can help Out of Depth produce even more cool stuff like the podcast you are listening to right now. For one, you can recommend our show to other folks looking for podcasts. Getting our show into the ears of more people is our number one goal right now. So if you could just recommend it to friends and strangers, leave reviews, all of that would really help us out. If you are in a position to do more than that, you can head over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/getoutofdepth. It's where you can subscribe at any tier you feel comfortable with for as long as you feel it's worth it. Those funds help us keep the show running, do even more cool projects, and allow us to afford more collaborators to work with. Their time and contributions to our shows are so valuable, and you can help support these efforts by becoming a patron at patreon.com/getoutofdepth. Patrons also have access to bonus material for the shows like character questionnaires, my game prep notes, and exclusive videos like a post-mortem Q&A with the Analysis Complete cast once this series finishes up. Gail and I have lots of fun plans for the future as we continue to grow our audience, and if you want to see them come to fruition, please head over to patreon.com/getoutofdepth and become a patron today. Thank you so much for listening. Holy shit. I really appreciate it. Now with that out of the way, let's get back to the show and see what mysteries and terrors our players might uncover next. Rook, with advantage, I'm going to let you leap onto the sleeping George, or sleeping Martin Sapp.
Hand-to-hand combat, or...
Yeah, all that. Yeah, yeah.
Great. With the plus 15, it's going to be a... math. 61.
61.
First one's a 91. Let's see. We got this one here.
Need that advantage, dude.
Yeah.
Come on!
That's a lucky number 7, baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. Nice. Okay. You leap on top of this, your legs straddle the top of him around his hips, and you grab both wrists and force them down, and he just starts to scream.
Hey, how's it going, Seth, buddy? Huh? We just want to talk.
And he is taking a second. He's seeing you. It's taking a moment for his eyes to adjust to the dim light of the campfire, and he starts to calm down. Rook.
Hey, how's it going, buddy boy? Now look, you got some big bombs on your chest. Please do not go down for it. Otherwise, look down, follow my eyes. I'm gonna have to put one in your skull there, buddy. Okay? We just wanna talk.
Point of order. Where is the gun if you're using both your hands to hold his hands?
He said he pocketed it.
It's not. It's in my front waistband.
Okay.
You know,
right.
Like.
Okay.
It's my front waistband.
All right. That's all good. I just want to make sure it's there. What are you doing here?
I should be asking the same thing. We are going to get through this, okay? We just have a lot of questions. We got other people here too, you know? Remember Castor? Remember Dr. Locke? You remember Asper? Remember,
Dr. George is here?
Yeah, he's here. Now look, you're the first person we found that's still living and breathing, okay? Please don't make this hard for us.
Where did you come from?
Texas! As I yell over to Castor and the group.
Come on in.
Dr. Locke, front waistband, grab the gun, please.
Oh, okay. And I grab it.
Hey.
I'm not pointing it at him or anything.
Dr. Locke, I need you to point that thing right out of his skull.
He doesn't seem dangerous.
I'm going for the vest. I'm taking it off of him, okay? This is just... Once we get the vest off, we can talk. Okay?
Okay.
But I need you to point the gun at him right now, please.
And he lays there, his hands on the cot above his head.
Are you okay, Marty? Do you need medical attention?
I don't understand why you all are here.
Where are we supposed to be?
As I slowly begin to unravel his Kevlar vest as this conversation happens.
Yeah.
We don't have any memory, Marty.
You're not able to get the vest off because he's like laying on top of it. Unless you let him set up.
I'm guessing there's like shoulder straps, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna put my hands underneath the straps and pull them up as I stand up with him.
He sits up with you. I thought you guys were gone. Aren't you supposed to be gone?
Gone. Where?
Back.
I guess we tried.
Something bad happened.
Yeah.
We can't go back.
No, we can. We can repair the ship. But...
That's just what they said. That's all.
Barry, was... It apparently turned us around, and he was attacked by,
all saw Barry?
Yes.
What did he do?
He was dead.
He was dead.
Good.
What happened between you and Barry? Why would that be good?
Barry's a heathen.
Heathen?
He's trying to ruin God's plan. You little sunbeams.
Real quick, Rook, what are you doing?
Because
as you're able to take the gun, I'm handing it to you.
I'm so
uncomfortable with this.
I would say that after he says God's plan, Rook's gonna order Martin, you might just hands straight up, 12 o'clock, please. I gotta get this vest off you.
And he holds his hands up high and he shakes his fingers like he is proselytizing to a congregation. And he says, I am more than happy to put my hands in the air for you and everyone here.
Am I able to remove the vest?
You take the vest off. And he says, I am honored to be here. In your presence.
Whose presence?
Dr. Locke, the gun.
Yes.
Why, yours, you little sunbeam. And he reaches out and he says, do you think that I could touch you? And he reaches his hands out towards Dr. Freya Locke. And he looks around and he says, Dr. George and Rook, where's Melanie?
She's near.
But she's here.
Yes.
Blessed be, this is truly a miracle. But you all have got to get back on that ship.
You're coming with us.
No. I am here now. My place is at the altar of Diocles, where I preach the gospel, and it is making its way on wavelengths back to Earth. I am telling them to stay there on that planet and wallow in the anguish that they have caused themselves, for Earth's gates are closed to them. And you are the sunbeams that will give them hope. Do you not understand? You are the awakening for their miserable lives.
What exactly do you think will happen if we are able to return?
Maybe you can make the Earth a better place. Maybe you could save it from itself. Your mission is one of great importance. And I will tell them of your coming, and it will be transmitted.
Are you transmitting now? Are you able to contact Earth?
I speak to all the planets.
And how do you know that? How did you figure out that this could do that?
And he yells as loud as he can, and you hear it echo throughout this entire parabola, this massive parabola echoing. And he says, I am amplified. And when they look towards the stars, they will hear my voice. And the message I bring is one of warning. But with one hand holds the shield, the other the sword. Make your way back to the ship. Caster, watch over them. You've done such a great job so far. We're so proud of you.
Was Caster awake when you saw him before?
No.
Who's proud of me?
We all are.
Who is we?
I'm afraid I can't answer that, friend. I'm afraid it's not for me to unlock the mysteries of the heavens, only to point the way toward salvation, and it is aboard the Belissa.
Do you know what happened to Captain Wakefield or Levi?
Sergeant Vi, Captain Wakefield, they didn't make it, friends. They were rejected.
Rejected.
As they're having this conversation, Rook's going to slowly, with the gun still out, make his way towards the inside of his space where the ammo crate is, and just kind of do a quick little search around while diverting his attention between the two. Just kind of inspect what's going on with, like, the crate. What's going on? Any more clues as to...
Next to the crate, you can see a rifle.
Shit.
Do you open the crate?
Yeah, like, with one hand, one gun kind of pointed out.
Pop open the lid of the crate, and you can see a few boxes of ammo for the revolver, some shotgun shells. It looks like a lot of it has been used, and as you start shifting things around, your hand comes in contact with something slick, mushy.
Just say it.
You feel the rotting head of Sergeant Vi. You can see the shock of, like, white, bleached white hair that they had when they were alive. And that's about all you can tell that is recognizable. The rest of the skin and flesh is now rotten and putrid.
I'm gonna slowly go for the rifle. As Locke and Caster are keeping Sap busy, I'm going to point it towards the butt end of the rifle. And I'd like to imagine that Locke and Caster can see me coming up on Sap from behind. And I would like to just butt him in the back of the head, knock him unconscious if possible.
He's distracted. You can make another combat roll at advantage. He's talking to Dr. Freylock.
If Caster can stop it, he's going to try to.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we'll do is, Caster, you can make, we'll say, a speed check to try and get there before Rook.
89. No.
Am I adding anything to this combat?
I mean, your hand-to-hand stuff. I mean, you're just okay. Using the clubbing them.
56 for a success.
Freylock yells out, no.
So, Caster reaches out to stop Rook, who sneaks up behind Martin Sapp, hits him with the butt of the rifle. Martin hits the ground and his eyes wide. He's wounded.
Gonna immediately cock a round into the rifle and put the my boot onto the pad of his chest, pointing it down at him.
You motherfucker.
What is... You fucking... you killed her! Yeah?
What? Who?
The chest. The fucking crate.
I go look in the chest.
Give me one reason why I shouldn't kill you right now, you son of a bitch.
I cannot give you reasons to not kill me.
Lock, cast the crate. Look now, please.
Dr. Freya Locke, you go over to the crate and open it up, and you see this shock of white hair that belonged to this bleach white hair that belonged to Sergeant Vi. The face is a rotten, putrefied mess. Dr. Freya Locke, you're going to need to make a panic roll.
Okay. That's a 20.
You're going to roll a d20, and you're trying to get under your stress, which I believe is an 8 or a 9.
9 or 8.
Caster, why did you stop me?
Asimov's laws, baby.
Asimov's law, baby.
I panic if I roll under.
Right. If you roll an 8 or lower, then you panic. All right. Okay. You steel yourself for a second. This is all happening so fast. Lee. Caster, you see the same.
I'm gonna kill him. Someone give me a reason not to kill him right now, please.
Wait. Let's... Marty, did you kill Lee?
I didn't kill anybody.
Of course he fucking did! Look! Explain it to me right now.
No.
Yeah?
No. I kept it as a souvenir. So I'd have somebody to talk to.
If you didn't kill Sergeant Vi, who did?
Sergeant Vi?
Sergeant Vi killed herself?
Yeah.
Why?
She didn't like what she saw.
What did she see?
Those who gaze upon heaven are not always prepared for what they see.
And how exactly did she kill herself?
She pulled a trigger.
Which trigger?
She used his revolver.
Then who decapitated her?
I did do that. I didn't have enough room for the whole body, you see.
Where is the body?
Out in the forest.
Forest?
To the north.
Can I see if there is a bullet hole in the head?
Yeah.
There is.
There is.
Is that what happened to Wakefield as well?
I don't know what happened to Wakefield.
What do you mean? Did he just disappear?
Exiled.
Exiled from whom?
Exiled from this place. He's not welcome back.
Are you trying to say there is a god that lives on this planet?
He looks at you. Do you want me to take you to him?
Yes. We do.
Wait.
Like, we got nothing more to say here.
No. Marty, can I check you out real quick? Can I do a med scan? And I take out my med scanner to kind of show it.
I don't think there's going to be something that reads, he's fucking crazy on the med scan, Doc.
You're very red. I'm concerned that you've got some sunburn or windburn or something. It could be worse, though. Can I check you out?
Yeah.
All right, check him out.
On your belly now, mine, please, while the doc checks you out.
He gets down on his stomach, and Dr. Freya Locke, you use your med scanner to check him out. He's a little dehydrated.
Is that it?
Mostly, yeah. Malnourished.
Do you need anything to eat, Marty?
Do you have anything to eat?
I give him an MRE from my bag.
Before you eat any of this... I'm sorry to do this to you, but we gotta do it for safety here. Cast in my bag. Am I pulling out my paracord, please?
Of course, yes.
As I go ahead, and I'm gonna go ahead and cut off some of the rope. Tie his wrist back.
Martin, are you telling me that we all of us, saw this god, and we were sent back, and you were asked to stay, and that was agreed upon. And meanwhile, Captain Wakefield and Sergeant Vi failed and died, or
and Barry.
And Barry.
Yeah.
So we have already met this god?
Yeah.
Do you know why we don't remember?
I think that's just part of his plan.
But you remember the whole time you've been here? Is that correct?
I've been singing the Lord's prayers for days.
What about Cass, Marnie? You came here with her in the very beginning, right? And we've found her. What happened to her? Do you know?
Accidents happen.
Accidents? What accidents?
It's, you'd understand this, because you're a doctor and all. Sometimes it's not an exact science. Mistakes are made.
Is this an experiment?
No. It's a miracle.
With mistakes?
Unintended consequences, I guess.
And Cass was supposed to stay with you? Or was she like that before we left?
I'd heard about Cass, and I'm awful sorry about all that.
You'd heard from who?
From the others.
What other?
From you all.
Oh. Are there other sentient beings here?
Not that I know of. Only what he allows there to be.
I think I've heard enough. I've heard enough, everyone. Casta, go ahead. I've heard enough. This is bullshit.
When you say there is God on this planet, do you believe that this is the God that created everything?
I do. I surely do. And I serve him.
And where do you believe God to be right now?
You're a smart android. You all need to come out here. You've seen the map.
We've seen the map, yes. I have it memorized.
To the north.
The structure the drone saw?
Yeah.
Well, you're gonna have to introduce us to your god. As I go ahead and take more of the paracord. Tie it around his neck like a leash.
I turn to George. I'm looking at his reaction. What does he look like after hearing all this?
George Asper stands in the corner of the room. Tall, silent. He's watching the entire scene unfold. He sees you look back at him, and he looks back at you. And he nods.
I walk up to him. What do you think of all this? You've had a funny feeling. You said so. Like everything was all right. And you said, we cannot go back.
So you say.
How do you feel now?
I'm concerned about our friend here. He seems to be delusional. Do you not think so?
I do, but I think we would have taken him with us. Even if he was delusional.
I'm starting to feel something inside me that says that we shouldn't get on that ship. I'd like to see what he's speaking about. I'd like to see if he's as mad as we maybe think he is.
Okay.
Dr. Locke, what do you want to do?
I guess we can go check it out.
Rook, you start to tie up Martin, and he's looking at you, and he says, I sure am sorry.
Nothing to apologize for. I'm sorry that we didn't come here sooner.
You know how they say that you could be reunited with your loved ones in heaven?
Sure, yeah. What about it?
I'm so happy for you. I'm sorry that you've been so stressed, and I'm sorry you all saw Cass the way you did, but you all are very special people.
Compliment taken. Thank you.
If God really wanted us to leave, why weren't we able to?
You tell me. I don't know why you didn't leave. You said it had something to do with that goddamned Barry.
Yes, but if it was really God's will, wouldn't we have been able to leave?
You're trying to play logic games. With divine beings.
I'm trying to use logic, not play games with it.
I hear you, Caster. I think that it just comes with having a soul. And you ain't got one, friend. And maybe if you did, you'd know exactly what it was that was happening here. You'd be able to understand it.
Well, I believe the only one that has your understanding is you.
All's going to be explained. All's going to be explained to all of you. And then you'll make your way back to Earth. Little sunbeams.
I'm going to go get Melanie. And I leave to go get Mel.
Dr. Frey Locke, you start making your way up this parabola, this massive, massive parabola. The sun is starting to rise.
I start crying. I try to keep it quiet because I know sound travels.
When you get to the top of the parabola, you start looking around the ridge and you're having trouble finding Melanie Devantes.
Mel?
You walk Melanie. Around and you see on the ground the crowbar.
Do I, looking at the ground because it was rainy and stuff, do I see scuffles, like footprints in the mud or anything?
Yeah, you do. You see tracks. Do you follow them?
Yeah.
You follow these tracks.
I have the crowbar.
You pick up the crowbar.
I pick up the crowbar. I can't remember if I said that. I thought I did, but I'm like, I don't remember. Pick up the crowbar. Go follow tracks.
You pick up the crowbar, and you follow these tracks. And you see these massive boulders, pointy rocks, jagged edges. Your feet are splashing in the mud. That sucking sound. In the distance, you can see on the horizon a mountain range and a green forest surrounding it. You turn the corner and you see Melanie Devantes.
Mel.
She's sitting on the ground, her back up against the wall of this massive rock. She has her head between her knees, pulled in tight, and she can see that she's shaking.
Melanie? Hey. I walk, go towards her.
And she says, don't come any closer.
Okay, what's wrong? She's sitting on the ground, yeah. Right? I kneel down.
How close are you? Can you touch her?
I guess I might. No, not quite.
Okay.
I like almost was close enough, but I...
Backed
she,
up.
She said, don't come near me. I back up like,
yeah.
To, I think I'm about 6-7 feet.
Okay. She says, I don't feel so good.
Oh, okay. And I've got my med scanner. Hold on. Let me check you out. How close do I need to be for a med scanner?
Pretty close. You need to be able to scan
her. I get close enough.
Okay.
Close, yeah.
She lifts her head up, and you can see her eyes are completely filled with blood.
Oh, Mel, can you see me okay?
Everything's a little blurry. I thought it was just dark, and now I can't fucking see, man. I can't. It's like... I'm not seeing the play. Like, I'm seeing something else. I see things.
Okay. What do you see? Just talk to me. It's okay. The scanner's doing its thing.
I see a man. It's like a man.
Okay. Just in one place, or
he's got his skin's white.
Okay.
And his eyes are black, and he scares me. And I see him like he's covered in shadows, and he's telling me to go. Go north.
Go where?
And I started to move towards him, and I got so scared because I walked, and it's like I realized that I was moving, and I didn't know that I was moving. I didn't know why I was moving. I just knew that I was moving north, you know. And I didn't want to go. I want to go to the ship. I want to go to the ship, Dr. Locke. I want to go to the ship.
Okay.
And she suddenly freezes in space. Her skin stops moving. Like everything freezes. Like she's been paused.
Mel. And I do touch her, like shake her shoulder.
I need you to make a body save.
Okay.
You put your hands on her flesh.
Oh, dang it. Shoot. I'm like, that might win. No, it's just 6 over. It's a critical failure at a 33.
Dr. Freya Locke, you feel this incredible pulse of energy go throughout your body. and you see a face. This gaunt, white face with black eyes. Its features look stretched and gangly. Jagged points where the cheekbones are and the chin. You see him smiling at you, and you hear a voice. It feels like a vibration of energy. It's not English. It's not any language you know from Earth. It's a sound, almost musical, and it plays in your mind, and it tells you